Please turn with me to the Word of God in Hosea chapter 14, Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1, and that's page 1049. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. This is a very suitable passage of scripture for the nation today. If we had that spirit among us as a nation, the Lord would receive us graciously as we come to him in repentance. But the subject before us this morning is particularly Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. That is the message title. Amazing Grace. And I want to speak first of all of how God demonstrates his wonderful grace in the book of the prophet Hosea. And then I want to conclude by seeing the hope and the relevance of this wonderful grace to unworthy sinners this morning. The nation of Israel were in a dreadful state spiritually. There was great hypocrisy at the time. The people had a name to live. They said they believed in God, and yet they were dead spiritually. The Sabbath day was a burden. It was a burden, was their cry. We want to get on with making money. We want to get busy again on the next day, and directly the Sabbath is over, we can get on with pleasure, we can get on with living with life, we can get on with making money. So their bodies were in the temple on the Sabbath day, but their hearts were in the world. In the city of Jerusalem at this time, in the writing of the book of the prophet Hosea, as he writes, there was corruption, there was greed, there was oppression, there was gross immorality, there was materialism, there was idolatry in various forms. It's not unlike the nation that we live in. There was gross syncretism. There was God and idolatry. I was listening to, reading a publication that has been produced by a local church to be distributed in this last few days. It was given to me yesterday, and it's talking about music in one section. It said, you know, we all love music. Some of you like rock bands. Some of you like church music. And this is syncretism. This is mixing the world with true worship. And this was the day and age of Jerusalem at the time. They were in a dreadful state spiritually. Of all the nations in the world, Israel should have known better, because God had shown them a better way. He had blessed, he had delivered them from slavery, he had brought them into the beautiful land of Canaan, he had rescued them from their enemies, he'd restored them on so many occasions. God had demonstrated such wonderful long-suffering and patience toward them, and therefore they were deeply responsible before God in their sin. They were without excuse. Now this may be true of some of you this morning. You know a better way. Your parents have shown you a better way. Perhaps you have heard the gospel many times. But have you turned your back on such a kind and gracious God who cares for your soul? Now we have a question this morning to consider together. If you have been such a kind and gracious so kind and gracious to a person, and you provided for them, and you've done the very best you could for that person, and you've given to them sacrificially, and you've given to them generously, if you had delivered on all your promises to them, to that person, would you not expect gratitude? Surely you would say, gratitude is my right. However, consider if such attitudes, such actions of yours have this outcome and an attitude. The same person to which you have shown such kindness and such love, such grace and generosity, rejects you and goes off and cuts you off from their life, speaks against you, mocks you, shows hatred and bitterness against you, shows no appreciation whatsoever of your love, as it were, wipes their feet of all your kindness toward them, as though you and your actions and kindness and love toward them were nothing more to them than mud to be wiped off on the doormat. How would you respond? You would probably feel justified in rejecting that person out of your life. Humanly speaking, you would say, enough is enough. What about God? This is one of the messages of the book of prophet Hosea. What about God? Because the nation of Israel had rejected God. They'd got off on their own way. They despised God. And they were heading without repentance and in pride towards his just judgment. And yet amazingly, the long-suffering God, before the judgment comes upon Jerusalem, is still extending a gracious and merciful invitation to repentance. If you will turn to me in repentance, I will forgive you. And so this morning, with the people of our nation, despite all the terrible idolatry, atheism, ridicule, and rejection of God, despite the constant rejection and the blasphemy against God, God warns. And he's, with that warning, he's still extending to this nation his gracious invitation through the gospel. He's still extending this gospel invitation this morning to come to him in repentance and faith and receive forgiveness of all your sins. Despite everything that has happened, God promises there will be mercy to those who repent and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite everything, God will still receive repentant sinners and forgive as they come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the incredible message of the book of Hosea. A long-suffering God who delights in mercy to those who repent, who receives his just and righteous, who reserves his just and righteous judgment only to those who refuse to repent. Yes, there will be judgment. There will be just and righteous judgment. But that is reserved for those who refuse to repent this morning. But the question may arise in your mind this morning, how far is God prepared to go to reveal the long-suffering mercy and grace? How far is God prepared to go to evidence the reality of this? Give me some proof. Well, we have historical proof of this through the testimony of Hosea. In the book of Hosea, we read that God reveals his amazing long-suffering mercy through his command to Hosea. Hosea was a preacher. Hosea was a prophet. And he is told by God to marry a woman whose background has been one of gross immorality and idolatry. And the woman called Gomer, having sold her body, had lost any purpose in life. She had no hope in this world. She was trapped and enslaved in lust and idolatry. And her condition, God says, typified the state of the Israelite nation at that time. And it typifies the state of our nation and ours today. Yet amazingly, God, through Hosea, extends to Gomer his wonderful grace. God delivers Gomer through Hosea from the bondage of a sinful life. He gives Gomer a willing heart to repent of her sin, to turn. And she leaves her sinful life and she marries Hosea, the man of God. And so she came under the care of a loving, God-fearing husband. And such a step by Hosea would have sent shockwaves around the religious establishment of the day. And God's grace is so amazing. It sometimes shocks us. We're amazed that God should save me and God should save you. The Apostle Paul was amazed at this. But Jesus said, I have not come to call the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so Gomer received a gracious gift from God. And through Hosea, Gomer receives biblical and spiritual instruction, providential provision and protection. And the action of Hosea is typifying the way in which God rescues ruined sinners from the bondage of sin. He grants to them freely his grace in Christ, a fresh start in life. Now you may be sitting here thinking, if only God knew what I was really like, he would be sure to reject me. This cannot extend to me. But God already knows about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. And he still says to you this morning, it is possible to make a fresh start. How can this be possible for you? God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He has provided from himself a way whereby his perfect justice can be fulfilled and his wonderful love to sinners be made known. And this way of salvation is centered in God's Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that brings you in this morning, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So how did Jesus fulfill God's law and justice and atone for needy sinners? Well, he lived a perfect life without doing any wrong whatsoever. This is beyond their human comprehension. But the Lord Jesus Christ lived an absolutely perfect life. But then he suffered upon the cross at Calvary, bearing the eternal punishment due for the sins of all those who put their trust in him, the whosoever's, and gave up his life, dying upon the cross as the perfect sacrifice. Because God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, so Christ shed his own blood, that there might be remission of sins this morning for the very worst of sinners. But then Jesus rose again, victorious over sin and death and hell. He ascended back to heaven, and he now sits at God the Father's right hand in glory, and he's ever living to make intercession for those that come to him in repentance and call upon him in faith. This is how it's possible. So as Gomer was given a fresh start, so can you in Jesus Christ the Lord. But sadly, the account of Hosea reveals to us another problem. Gomer, despite all that she had received from God, still had part of her heart in the world. So Gomer, in reality, was not wholeheartedly committed to the fresh start given to her by God. And after a while, despite the natural and spiritual love of Hosea, her true husband, she still yearned after this life of adultery. She missed the excitement and the material rewards of lust. The old nature was at war with the new nature, and for a while the old nature won a temporary battle. And despite all the kindness and the security of the family home with Hosea, she ran off back to her ungodly roots. Staying at home with Hosea was not half as exciting as going off with other men and receiving their gifts. And she became known as a backslidden believer. Gomer's actions and rejection of Hosea typifies the way in which the nation of Israel had backslidden from God, had treated God with contempt. Now, backsliding is one of the devil's great tools in attempting to destroy Christians. Like Gomer, Christians are tempted to think that being a Christian is depriving them of excitement. Perhaps your Christian life has failed to live up to your expectation. It started so promisingly. There was so much vibrance and life and expectation and answered prayer, but over a period of time, your love has grown cold, and Satan has used that and poured in all sorts of worldly attractions. And instead of examining your emotional expectations under the light of God's word, you question whether or not now you are truly saved. And Satan then uses that as a cover for a desire to backslide. Well, maybe I was not saved in the first place. And so the devil presents temptation as something you must not miss out on. As already backslidden in your thinking, you return step by step to a lifestyle driven by Satan and sin, lust, materialism, idolatry, pride, evil behavior in secret. And this can happen in our minds. We may not do all this outwardly, but something like this might be going on in your heart, in your life, even today. That deep in your heart, you have backslidden. You have grown a lot cold, and you're putting your soul back into bondage. You've lost your first love. You lose your peace. You lose your contentment. And instead of being led by Christ, the Good Shepherd, and the Holy Spirit with the Word of God, you are seeking excitement elsewhere. And you are once again allowing yourself to be led by Satan. And this is what happened to Gomer. Once again, she became trapped in a life driven by lust. And once again, she has walked into the prison of Satan. And so Gomer turns her back on Hosea, and in doing so, turned her back upon God. Surely we must say, this is the end for Gomer. Surely God is saying to Gomer, I've had enough. This is it, Gomer. You've had your opportunity, and now it's enough. But now we can enter into the depths of the amazing grace of God. Because he again commands Hosea to go and redeem Gomer. And this time Hosea must do something even more shocking in terms of grace. Even more shocking than when he married Gomer in the first place. If marrying Gomer made the religious establishment look on with amazement, then what God tells Hosea to do now will totally knock them out. Because Hosea is told by God to go and rescue Gomer and buy her back again. Yes, actually buy her back again. She is the one that's left him, but he has got to go and buy her back again and rescue her and bring her back home. And Gomer is once again enslaved and helpless in her sin. And what is Gomer to do? What is Hosea to do? Hosea is to show Gomer compassion, mercy, and look again with grace towards her. Go again, Hosea. Bring unworthy Gomer back. God is already dealing with her. He's preparing her to turn for repentance. We read that she was frustrated in her attempts to do evil. She is unhappy. She's in desperate straits. And she remembers her home like the prodigal son. And she remembers his love. And so in the perfect timing of God, Hosea obeys the command of God. He rescues his wife enslaved in her sin. He redeems her, purchasing her freedom again. He brings her back home for her own good. He deals with her firmly and kindly. And he commands her not to be unfaithful anymore. She must be committed to this marriage, and he would remain committed to her despite all the past. So in the end, grace prevailed, and backslidden Gomer is restored. And in this remarkable work of redeeming Gomer, Hosea is a type of Christ who came to redeem lost sinners and backslidden believers, paying the price of his own life. And you may be a backslidden believer this morning. And the message of Hosea is that God in Christ calls you back to him again. Return to me, and I will return to you. That is the message of Hosea. But how can this come about? Well, we've looked at the wonderful redemptive work of Christ on Calvary's cross, his life of obedience, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. But what about you? So what is your, if you might say, your responsibility this morning in this situation? The provision has been provided. God gives out the call. But how can sinners come and return to God? How is it backsliding Christians return to God? And here are the steps you must take this morning. It's all here in God's word. In verse 1, turn from your sin and acknowledge sin for what it really is, a curse on your life. Verse 1, but chapter 14, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. This has caused you to stumble. This has caused you to be in great grief in your life, to feel to be trapped again and in bondage. Then the second step is take with you words of honest and sincere confession. Verse 2. So you've got to return. You need to turn like the prodigal son. You need to come back to God, your heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus. But you must take words with you. Not words of self-justification, but words of confession. And return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. Take with you words of honest and sincere confession. Ask for forgiveness. Trust in the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. How can God receive you in Christ Jesus this morning? Then reject your ungodly attitude and behavior. Verse 3. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. In you the fatherless finds mercy. But then, as you come, and as you confess, and as you acknowledge, and as you by faith commit your life to the Lord, be encouraged and be assured of the gracious and loving purposes of God. This is God's word to you this morning. Verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger has turned away from him. This is the gospel. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for needy sinners like me and like you. This is how it is possible that God can ever say to us, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. My anger has been turned away. Trust only in God's promises in Christ Jesus the Lord. Dwell under the secure shadow of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. Dwell. That means to contemplate, to enjoy. Verse 7, those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. And then be like Ephraim. In verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard and observed him. I'm like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. This is where it is found, the Lord is saying this morning. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them. But transgressors stumble in them. So you can come to God through Christ Jesus, just as you are this morning. And you can be sure from God's word, who never lies, that he will not turn you away. I read of a young Brazilian girl. She was fed up with life in her town. and the godly upbringing of her parents, and when she was 18 she ran off to make money in Rio de Janeiro. There, like Gomer, she gave her body for money and ended trapped, enslaved, and in terrible trouble and distress. Her mother, knowing the danger her daughter would be in, she herself travelled to Rio de Janeiro, and with a number of passport pictures of herself, she taped them in various places in the area in which she thought her daughter would be. And one night, returning to her lodgings, there in the hallway, she noticed a picture, a passport picture of her mother. And when she looked at this picture closely, her mother had written on the reverse, "Come home, whatever you have done. Come home, whatever you have done." And that is God's message in the gospel to you this morning. Come home, whatever you have done. This is the gospel. Whatever you have done. This is the whosoever. This is the whatsoever. Come, just as you are, and God will receive you graciously. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you that it assures us this morning that despite our failures and our weaknesses and our wanderings, we can come. Whatever we are, wherever we are, whatever we have done, we can come as long as we are truly repentant and pleading the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will find the Lord will graciously receive us and forgive all our iniquity and love us freely. This is amazing grace, and we praise you from our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.